Paul. Do you know what Paul means? Anyone? Paul means small or humble. Kind of like that second one more than the first one, but yeah. It's not like it's a put down. Paul. If you go on, I forget the name of the website I looked up on that. I kind of knew it anyway, but I reaffirmed it. There's all kinds of great information about names and the meaning and origin of names. Maybe you know yours. And whatever it is that your parents had in mind for choosing the name that you were given, maybe it was because of, quite often, a relative, past or present at that time, that they wanted to name you in honor of, in memory of, so-and-so. Maybe they just liked the sound of it. Maybe they looked into the meaning of the name and gave you that name for a particular reason. The way we use names today, all of that is true and a whole lot more. The way names were used in the Bible had a much more of a direct connection most of the time with the meaning behind the name itself. And we're going to touch on that in a moment in the category of blessing from God. Today's message is a continuation of the series that I've entitled, This is What God Does, exploring themes of Genesis. And we've already been through several of them, from creation and Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Isaac. And the last four this month, there is so much material to work with both Jacob and with Joseph. We're going to go into part one and part two. So even though it's kind of a flyover thing anyway, a summary, if you will, of all of these great characters, we're going to look at Jacob in two parts. And today's part is God blesses. Jacob's family was filled with jealousy, with rivalry, deception, violence, disappointment, and pain. But there was also love and blessing from God. Somehow, we have to try and put those two things together. So keep that in mind, because I think quite often, as I asked the children here a moment ago to name a blessing from their family, something good about their family, hopefully all of us have a short list at least, perhaps a long list, perhaps a whole book filled with the blessings of your family, the family that you grew up with, the family you have now, the family you're becoming perhaps. But the truth is that quite often we think of family and blessing as, well, if you do this and this, then you will be blessed. And that is true. And there certainly are things when you do this well and this well, then it works out this way. But what we also see in Scripture is that some very imperfect people, some very deceptive people, and sometimes even some very violent people were still blessed by God. It's not as if we have all of these characters that I had on the previous slide and think, wow, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, those were pillars of faith. They had strength every day. They got up every morning and prayed for an hour and talked nicely to their wife and their kids, and everything went well for them. And that's why God blessed them, because what he saw in them was a constant trail of obedience and goodness and niceness to the world, and that simply is not the case. Now, there was, in the midst of all of their struggles, there was a consistent faith. There was a consistent turning to God, and we'll see in Jacob, especially when he got in trouble, but there was also something that was developing deeper. So it's almost like, in spite of the chaos, God blesses. Now, I gave you an outline today, and it's a little bit complicated. It's just sort of a resource for you. But I want to kind of give some of the basics about Jacob, if you're not familiar, or maybe you could use a quick refresher. He is, of course, the son of Isaac, and he has a twin brother named Esau who was born right before him. And Scripture tells us that the birth was so close that he was grasping on to the heel of his brother as Esau exited out of his mother's womb. Jacob was right there behind him grasping his heel because he wanted to be first. And through God's desire, God's chosenness, he said to Rebekah, the mother, that the older will serve the younger. And one day, Jacob would receive the blessing that was due to Esau because he was firstborn. Albeit a matter of seconds first, he still was first. And yet God turned that around. And the Word of God tells us one of the things that happened was that Esau married women from neighboring nations, and which displeased his parents very deeply. And eventually, as Isaac began to lose his sight and felt like his time might be slipping away, he wanted to formally grant his blessing upon his son Esau. And if you remember the story, Esau was a hunter, and he instructed him to go out and hunt and prepare a meal and come and give it to him, and I'll give you my blessing, Esau. And Rebekah heard this and thought of this as the advantage that she was waiting for. And while Esau went far off to get to the hunt and find whatever food he was going to kill and bring in, she had some food nearby. She told Jacob, now go ahead and prepare this meal, your father, and pretend you are your brother. Deception. And he did so. And even though his father was deceived by this, the blessing he gave to him still held, because this is what God had in mind. I'm not going to make any excuses here. It's what the Word of God says. I'm not going to apologize for it either. It's what the Word of God tells us. The older will serve the younger. And Jacob received the blessing through an act of deception between him and his mother. Esau found out about this, and there was no blessing left to give. And so he became so angry, he swore to kill his own brother. And then Jacob had to run for his life. And then his mother sent him to Laban to live there. Now, on the way is where the passage that Dan read a few moments ago comes, where he was on this journey. Now imagine the fear, all the anxiety, all the unknowns. This is where we can plug ourselves into these somewhat strange and unusual stories, honestly, in the Word of God, and see a man that is scared. And he uses a rock for a pillow, which is kind of weird. But if it's a warm rock and a smooth one, I guess that could work. I would think I'd have a headache in the morning, a neck ache. But during that night, he had this vision from God. And God assured that he was with him. And he said, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And that place became special to him. And this is the first record in Scripture, by the way, of any connection between God and Jacob. Now, he's an adult at this point. He's not, some 12-year-old kid. He's fully grown. But he was going off on his own. He was filled with anxiety. He was filled with fear. And God met him there. God didn't tell him at that point, you were so wrong to deceive your father. Why'd you go into cahoots with your mother to deceive your father? What's the matter with you, Jacob? You shouldn't have done that. God didn't do any of that. He said, I am with you, and I'm going to bless you. And just as I promised your grandfather Abraham and your father Isaac, I am promising to you, you will become a great nation. And so he went, and when he arrived at Laban's, call it a ranch, he met Rachel, and he fell in love. That's a wonderful love story. And they kissed one another. And he knew she was the one right away. He knew that was it. And he went and met her father Laban and said, I will work for you for 7 years if I will just, you will bless me with the joy of marrying your beautiful daughter Rachel. And Laban said, yes, let's do that. And Laban was a deceiver too. So he had an older daughter named Leah. And you might remember this story too. And so at the wedding came and he snuck in the wrong bride. Wrong to Jacob, right to Laban. And he ended up marrying Leah instead. And when he realized that, he was enraged, but it was too late. There was nothing he can do. And Laban saying, I got a deal for you. You can marry the other daughter too if you work 7 more years. And the Bible said he worked hard for 7 years. It was like a day because of his love for her. So it's a love story. It's a deception. It would make a pretty good movie, really. And so this is where it comes in. Now, that long and complicated outline on your bulletin today, on that green paper, shows us about his family, okay? So on the left is the names of all his sons and the reference for it where you can find it. And the next column is which one is the mother. Now just think this through in any time, any place, any culture. This probably is a difficult family dynamic at best, all right? Because how did it begin? He genuinely loved Rachel, but he had to take the second wife. Now, that was the culture at the time. There's some places that still do that to this day. But it wasn't what he wanted. What Jacob wanted was him and Rachel marrying, falling in love, and having Joseph. Having a son. That would have been great. And then Benjamin. And so it would have been this family of four with two boys. It would have been this nice suburban family with a picket fence, and they loved God, and God blessed them, and happy ever after, right? Well, something happened between Jacob and Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin, 10 other sons. Now, why did that happen? Well, Rachel couldn't have children at first, but Leah could. And Leah, because she really wasn't loved by Jacob, and she knew it, at least she could have children. And so she had Reuben, and then Simeon, and then Levi, and then Judah. And then Rachel, seeing this, still not able to have children. Now think of all the time that had to pass for all of those births and pregnancies to happen, years and years. And then Rachel says, well, I can't have a child, so have a child through my maidservant. In the culture, that was acceptable. Jacob goes along with it. So through Bilhah, Rachel has her child, more or less, but really not hers, Dan and Naphtali. Leah wasn't able to have children for a time, so she does the same thing. You take my maidservant, Zilpah, and there's two more sons, Gad and Asher. And then later on, God blessed Leah once again and opened up her womb. And she had two more sons, Issachar and Zebulun. And then finally, God opened up Rachel's womb and she gave birth to Joseph. And then it was a long time later when she gave birth to Benjamin. And in that birth, she died. So this really is a good movie. It's heart-wrenching. It's difficult. But I want you to put yourself in the middle of that family dynamic. Wow. Boys will be boys, right? And when there's rivalry between the mothers and they're still all in the same household, it is hard enough when families have their second marriage and their stepchildren and all that, and everyone does the best they can with that and to work it through. But there's usually at least some tension about a stepbrother, a stepsister, the stepparents, etc. And that's hard to work through, but you know, people can do it. But usually they're not in the same household at the same time indefinitely. That's what they had. rivalry and difficulty. And if you read forward through the details of these chapters of Genesis, you're going to see a very violent group of young men. And the more you dig into this, the more you understand, when we get to Joseph's story in a couple of weeks, why these guys wanted to throw him in a pit. Why a couple of them wanted to kill him. Literally, that was it. They've had it with this guy. This dad's favorite. This guy who tells on us, etc. We'll get to those details, but do you understand how it got there? Because if you just jump into the story of Joseph, oh, wasn't that nice? A big family with all these boys. Oh, why would they want to do that to him? That wasn't very nice of you guys. Here's why. It started from birth. It started from before birth. It started from the deception that took place from Laban. Now Jacob was a deceiver too, so it kind of came around to him, his own deception. And this is what God worked with. This is what God blessed. And you may be familiar with a lot of these names, because these are mostly the names of the 12 tribes of Judah that you read about for the rest of your Old Testament, referred back to even in the New Testament. The exception is Levi, who did not become a tribe in terms of having a land area, but they were the priestly tribe, and the priests came out of the descendants of Levi. Joseph didn't have his own tribe, but it was divided between his two sons. And we'll get to that when we get to the end. So those are mostly the tribes of Israel. But I wanted you to look at something else here. Look at the meanings. Each time a son was born, a child was born, there was a name given for a reason. So the name Reuben means the Lord has seen my misery. So the meaning is misery. The name Simeon is one who hears, that the Lord has heard that I'm not loved. Leah felt so lonely. The name Levi means attached. Finally, my husband will be attached to me, maybe because I've had these children, now all these sons, which really didn't work out that way, but she hoped. The name Judah was praised. This time, because it didn't work out, apparently, to take on this attitude, because apparently Jacob didn't really love her that much more after giving her the third son. This time I will praise the Lord. So the name Judah. Now, as I said a moment ago, all of our names were picked by our parents for different reasons. But when you have your name given to you because of the circumstances of your birth, that's going to stick. Now, think about that. And what we also see here is how God blesses his people. Now think forward. These would be the tribes of Israel. So how, in what ways does God bless his people? Well, for example, he sees their misery. He hears their prayers. He is attached to them in terms of he is their God. Praise, obviously, is something that he wants to hear from them. Vindication. There are times when the enemies of God's people would attack and they would be able to come back when they turn to him and have vindication about what happened to them in a battle or a war. Struggle is certainly part of life, isn't it? Certainly part of God's people. Sometimes good fortune, happiness, reward, honor. May God add and take away my disgrace. And then son of my right hand. So you just look at those names, not just of those individual people, but what would become the nation Israel that got carried through. And look even in your own life. How many of those things can we understand? Can we recognize? Sometimes I just feel miserable and God is there. Sometimes I know that God hears me. I'm so grateful for that. I'm thankful for the good fortune, the happiness, the reward that I see in my life, the honor. So the very names of the people that Jacob gave birth to are a sign of the blessing that God bestowed. No one deserves blessing from God. So be thankful for what He has given you. Are you thankful for what He has given you? Look at your own family situation, your own upbringing. Wherever you're at right now, today, I'll bet if we were all had the courage and the time to sit here and share the struggles of our family right now on the 7th of October in 2018, it would probably be painful, maybe even heart-wrenching, or at least disappointing in some ways. And there would certainly also be great joys and great blessings. You know, isn't life always a mix of those things? But what I want us to see from this today, if you remember nothing else today, remember this. In spite of all of the dysfunction that we would call it today of Jacob's family, God blessed them. God worked with it. And not just for the time of Jacob's life and his sons' lives, but those very names lived on to this day with tribes of Israel in our world. And look where they began. So if you ever feel like my family isn't good enough, God can't do anything through us, or look, the family I came out of, I'm doing my best, Lord, and I love you, but boy, I don't deserve to be blessed by you because of this. Or let's take it another way, if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we look at people and say, well, they're not going to be blessed by God because look at the mess they're living through. They really have to clean up their act before God's going to love them. That's why God gives us these stark pictures of difficulty, of struggle, of deception, of pain. And yet, the key thing is, no matter how bad it is, no matter how bad we feel about it, no matter what others might say about us or we think they're saying about us and our difficulties, the opportunity is the same for us to turn to God. Not pretending before God that I have it all together, Lord, and it's all okay or it doesn't matter. To be honest with the Lord, yes, Lord, here I am, such as I am. And God can use you right where you're at. And He wants to help us make those better decisions and improve the relationships. And all that is really important. We don't ignore that and just let it go, but we're honest with what we have, where we came from, where we are, and ask God to help us build something better for Him, for ourselves, and for future generations. Let's pray. Father, thank you for examples in your word of blessing people who we would look at and think they don't deserve it. And certainly they didn't, but neither do we. But we are thankful for what you have given to us and for the good in our lives that we've experienced, and help us to make good choices and decisions that will reap a better harvest in the future, but also to be aware that you can redeem anyone and anything. We just have to turn to you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we prepare our hearts for communion this morning, let's sing together. And Corinne had planned to play the song on piano, but Kim's going to lead us in a cappella. So turn to number 8 in your hymnal.
And we will sing verses 1, 3, 4.
Be thou my vision, Lord of my heart. Not be all shall soon be saved as thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Riches I heed not, no man's empty praise. Thou my inheritance, now and always. treasure.